It is Masters Sunday afternoon. It is a gorgeous, perfect afternoon in Pure, Michigan, and golf is in the air everywhere we turn. I cannot wait to celebrate this great game with you here in the moments ahead. Bill Hobson here from Michigan Golf Live, and as you heard the man say just a moment ago, I'm surrounded by some of the top instructors in the state of Michigan and in the entire country in this room here at St. John's. So we are going to break down what is taking place on Heaven's Golf Course in Augusta, Georgia. Let me bring everybody in here. First of all, Brian Cairns from Fox Hills, just back from Augusta.
Yes, sir.
We'll hear some of those stories here in a couple of moments.
Cool place.
Mikey Fay, who is a renowned instructor from Mike Fay Golf at Walnut Creek. Good to see you, Mikey. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
No, we can say that.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, season premiere, it's Happy New Year.
Happy New Year for us.
And Jordan Young, Jordan Young Golf at Fox Hills. How are you?
Doing great. Welcome to the show.
It's good to be here. You know, they told me I could have a one-episode trial run before they booted me out. And then in a few weeks, Michigan Golf Live will actually be on WJR following Spin on Golf. So it's kind of a fun kickoff. And this Masters has been one of the more unusual Masters I can recall because nobody, given multiple opportunities, has run away with this thing. Scheffler, as we speak, has a two-shot lead. But nobody has gone super low over the last couple of days. Jordan, as you have watched this unfold, what's been your observations of what's happening at Augusta?
Well, I will say be careful on how good of a job you do today because you might get sucked into this for a long time. Okay, but it is a pretty fun deal, and it goes by pretty quick. I don't know. Like, I've watched a lot of this year at Augusta, and I was really, really hoping for a really tight tail end here in the back nine, and
everybody
is just parting ways for our friend Scheffler to just kind of cruise on in for the second title here. I don't know. It's just anticlimactic. That's just what I'm seeing.
Well, we want drama, right? So, you know, Mikey Fay, they say that the Masters really doesn't begin until the second nine on Sunday, and it kind of looks like this year's Masters almost ended when the second nine began. Everything was tight up until they made the turn.
Not a bad things are happening. BC, there's a lot of bad things happening.
I've noticed Brian throwing his arms in the air in exasperation a couple times. It was almost like he was on the bag for somebody or perhaps had an extra added interest in somebody's performance out there.
No, not really. It just, you know, having talked to, like I said, I talked to Randy Smith Wednesday afternoon, and he said, this is the best I've ever seen Scotty hit it. So I'm like, oh, man, nice. Nice.
He wins with his B-minus game.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, everyone's like, well, I had these guys folding at the end. The golf course is so hard.
Yeah.
It's beyond belief how hard this thing is. It's. I mean, it'd be harder than the U.S. I think it's harder than an open course or a PGA Championship golf course. It's brutal.
I think I had it on Friday in the morning when they were finishing up, and there was a segment there for about 15 minutes where I saw like 12 balls just go in the wall. I'm like, it was just like on 10 or on 11, on 12, on like 13. It was like just continuous guys just hitting in the water, and then guys chipping it in the water and spinning it back on 15, like four guys in a row.
It's been like 5 years we have had serious weather conditions.
Yeah.
You know, when James played in it, it was brutal. It was 58 and cloudy and cold. And then, you know, obviously with the DJ year, it got moved because of COVID.
In
so every year there's been something going on. This year was no doubt. Thursday and Friday was brutal. Six-hour rounds and guys would just put their arms up after they hit a shot. They had no idea.
As we're seeing today, this golf course in calm, perfect scoring conditions is a big challenge. Nobody has gone low on a perfect Sunday. So you back it up to Friday when the wind was gusting up to 40, and you can only imagine the carnage that was taking place all over the scoreboard. Just kind of keeping your mind in it and keeping your sanity would have been a challenge. You guys are teachers. How do you teach composure to amateur players when we're watching the pros? We're watching Tyrrell Hatton spit on a green after he misses a putt. How do you teach composure to your students? Because we're not going to face a challenge like this, but we all have these moments when we're kind of losing our minds because the game, of course, will drive you insane. Mikey
Fay? It does.
Yeah, what's the composure secret?
The composure secret is routine, I think. I think going back and doing the same things over and over and over again. And you can't get upset. That's just the way it is, right? I mean, we're watching courts fly in the air because the wind is blowing it out of the bunkers, right?
Right?
And you look at the greens, and they're covered in courts. Like,
that would
you
be
just
sand
have to
for you
it.
People that don't know what courts are.
Yeah, it's not sand, it's quartz.
It sounds more valuable when you put it.
That was deep, Mike. Quartz. I was like, what's quartz. He talking about?
Right from North Carolina. Very nice.
I thought he was going to say crystals or something and make it sound even more valuable. But I think about composure. And just a few moments ago, we watched Max Homa play the 12th hole. Now, I know that some of you who are listening are like recording this and you don't want any spoilers. Sorry for your luck. You're going to get a spoiler here. Because on 12, Max hit a shot that was a little long, but it took a gigantic bounce, BC, up into what used to be azaleas and now is basically some shrubs. And it ended his chances for the most part. He had to take a drop, and then he ended up making a double on that little innocent-looking par 3.
It's really treacherous. It really, I mean, even Thursday when the wind was blowing around down there, I mean, no idea which way the wind's going. You got the flag going right to left, and you got the flag on 11 going left to right, and the trees are swaying right to left, and you're like, okay, which one do I really trust?
Which one of these three shots am I
and you can hit the and you can hit the ball hole high, which he did. His ball landed hole high, but it was 30 feet left of the hole, and it hits the downslope of that green, and it's gone.
And the landing spot's about as big as this nice granite table, board table we're sitting here at St. John's.
Yeah.
That's
not very
spot.
Big.
Not very big, because it's on a – it's a, you know, basically an acute angle to where you're hitting, and so the green is even smaller than it appears.
Because of the angle.
Because of the angle, yeah.
Would you say it's about 30-degree angle or maybe more? 35?
No, I think you're right. I think that's about 30 degrees from going in from the 12th tee. It's very difficult.
All of you have competed in tournaments where you had moments like that and you still had holes left to play. Like Max couldn't just break a club over his knee, head to the car, and go on home. He had to keep on playing. He's 5 back right now. But even though that – pretty much wrapped up his chances unless there's a Scheffler disaster. You kind of have to flip the switch and get your mind back in the right spot.
Yeah, you got to keep playing, right? They got to finish strong.
Right.
But Homa's a different animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
That guy 4 years ago couldn't even finish a golf tournament.
Bill Hobson here with you, Brian Cairns, Mike Fade, Jordan Young, and Mikey and Jordan, before we went on the air, I asked Brian Cairns, you know, how many times have you played Augusta? And if you were already struggling to like Brian Cairns, your chances have just gone down even further since he kicked out, I think, 12. You know, he said, I think 12 because he's not sure, because once you get up into that realm.
That about matches how many people actually like him.
Yeah.
No, that's take the over on that.
Yeah.
Under. Okay, so.
There might be two or three in this room, too, so that leaves less single digits out there.
I believe out of the four of us that have microphones on right now, you're the one who's played this course. So can you kind of help us relate as, well, first of all, jealous people, but those who haven't ever tackled the challenge of Augusta, what? And we didn't. You didn't play it from 7,700 yards.
No. Members' tees.
Still plenty challenging.
Right. Yeah.
What is it about this place?
The hardest thing about it is the uneven lies and the difficulty of getting it close to the hole, because you have to have a specific ball flight to get the ball close to these holes. I'm not hitting a low pole hooking tomahawk draw on the back right flag on number 6. It's not going to work. Literally, when people say that you have to learn how to play this golf course, you have to change the way you hit a golf ball to play this golf course. And it fits right into Scottie Scheffler's bag because he hits it 150 feet in the air. So that's the most difficult thing I found, is like, man, I got an uneven lie every single shot, uphill, downhill, and it's uncomfortable. And you have to carry the ball. You have to fly the ball to the doggone hole.
How do you practice for that kind of thing? It's not like most of your practice tees, even for the top players in the world, they don't have the ability to replicate these different stances and the elevations and all that. You know, if you're coaching a player with the dream of someday competing at a venue like this, maybe it's a Augusta National Women's Amateur, but the same golf course, just different distance. How do you prepare for something that you don't get the reps on?
You don't.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
you have to be there. You can't.
It's hard. Yeah.
You cannot duplicate this facility anywhere in the world. It's
the quality, like the ball striking alone. I mean, even the chipping, you can't miss by a groove or two, because that completely changes. So you miss by a groove or two here, you land 8 feet shorter and it nips quicker and it spins back. Now you're 90 feet off the green or in the water versus, you know, four grooves up, carries another 8 feet, skips forward, checks and trickles. So you miss your little segments around the greens. You can see what happens to the best players in the world, let alone to 10 handicaps, 12 handicaps, or even five handicaps, heck, even two handicaps.
Right. You know, it is extremely demanding. I mean, that's what I say. It's just because of your landing areas around the holes, where they put the flags this week, not for the members play, but where they put the flags on some of these little pedestals, I call them, like six and one.
Six, you know,
where
was they brutal today.
Brutal. I mean, one, that back right.
I mean, good for Scheffler and good for the other guy. That,
they can curve it up and in there. Right.
That's their shot.
Right.
It's like, what was it, number nine when he hit it like, or 18 when he hit it like this yesterday.
So all three of you spend a lot of time with pretty full lesson sheets at your places where you instruct, Fox Hills and over at Walnut Creek for Mike Fay. Do you anticipate a lot of students coming to you and saying, show me how to do that Scheffler footwork? Because I cannot imagine how anybody would ever have taught that. It's clearly God-given.
Well, that was a drill from Randy Smith, because he was a slider and he had too much right side bend. So if you move your right foot behind you, it literally would put your left hip.
Greg Norman taught him that.
Yeah. So you put your it puts your left hip really almost in a backup position. So it will not make the left hip go forward outside your left foot.
Do you remember, Norman's right foot would slide back?
Yeah. It always just shift back.
But Scotty leaves the ground and ends up in a position that looks like he's never golfed before while his ball's going right towards the flag.
Did you guys see the interview yesterday about, I don't know, it was Chambly and the group there was talking about with Randy. He said, well, have him hit a shot. He goes, go ahead and hit a shot with your feet, with your footwork on the ground. And he went, pew. He goes, all right, now go ahead and do your thing with your dance. And he goes, pew. Yeah. And Randy was like, yeah, that went. Ball speed was up, you know, 3 or 4 miles an hour. And the launch was 6 feet high or whatever higher, and it flew 12 yards further. He goes, I like that better.
It's pretty remarkable.
Way better.
It's pretty remarkable.
So, I mean, you know, who cares? If he can do it, he's an athlete.
Okay, so we've talked over the years, so all of us off of this program and just in different settings, about the special moments that golf has brought into our lives. One of them for each of us was probably the first time we ever set foot on the property at Augusta National. Mikey, what was your first memory? When was it? And what's the vivid imagery that you still have?
Yes, it was 2018, the drive chip and putt championship. I was there with Josh Lely, and walking in there, it's amazing. I mean, how green and how perfect everything is.
And that's the Sunday prior to competition,
that's right?
Right. So are you able to walk the course during drive, chip, and putt, or do you have to kind of stay in the little
– Yeah, we just stay right in there and then go up to the 18th green and, you know, back down to the range. We're able to go into the merchandise, you know, area and stuff like that day. But I was lucky enough the next day to go out on the golf course.
Yeah.
And, it's something else. I love
magical.
It there.
Right? Yeah. D.C., your first time ever. When was it?
1989. I went with Mr. Fergal, who was kind of my mentor in college. Eddie won the U.S. Open in 54. So I got to play with Eddie. And we went up there and, you know, got to sit with the champion. And I went right to the first base right away.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Hogan's there, Vinsterwald, and Doug Ford. And it's like, you get to hear literally like this, trying to listen to Ben Hogan talk. But yeah. But, yeah, holy cow, I can't believe how hilly this place is. I mean, that was my first thing out loud. I can't believe how hilly the place is.
You said holy cow?
I did not, but Marv's on the board, so I got to respect
I'm trying
Marv.
To tease him into swearing for the first show. The first
can't
show.
Do it.
Jordan, what's your first memory?
Well, ironically, today I was over at Jeff Goble's place, Jeff Goble Golf, just down the road here, and we attended in 19. We attended for 2 days. It was the year Tiger won, but we were just there for the practice round. My first time, hilly, unbelievable, eyes wide open. All right. But then the best memory was a few years back with James and Brian. We were there and being on the first tee, thinking that when Tiger and his crew would move out of the way and James would get up there with Morikawa or with Matsuyama and JT, and there would be a little room to maneuver around and get in. And just to stand on the first tee with his mom, Judy was on the left side, and I was on the right side, and just to watch down that was pretty cool. I mean, tears running down. Yeah. I know these guys are back there. Yeah. It's like, holy crap, this is really cool. You know,
I can recall I've had a couple of trips. The most vivid would be in 2016 when my son went with me and we were given passes to go into the clubhouse and all that. And we took pictures in Butler Cabin in the chairs where they will soon be handing Scheffler a green jacket. And that's crazy. But my first time was 03, Mike Weir's year. And I had tickets on a Saturday, but because of weather, they were still finishing Friday's round Saturday morning. And it because they had to have, they had gone off of split tees because of the weather, I walked onto the property the very first time, past the merchandise place and all that. And coming up the ninth green was Arnold Palmer playing, and I believe it was his last. And walking behind me was Jack, who just finished his last on 18. Within 5 minutes of time being.
No big deal, right?
Nice.
And I just stood there. I was like, what is happening? It's like Field of Dreams has come to life. If you build it, they will come. And it's just it's the most unique American sporting experience for any spectator, whether you love golf or not, right? It's just everything is done to perfection, and it's a memory for a lifetime.
Yeah. I remember when I was there with James, and Monday we couldn't go inside the ropes with James, so I'm walking around amongst the gallery. And that year they
For our listeners, fill in the last name there for James.
James Pyatt.
Yeah, not everybody's in your head.
James Pyatt, right.
Thank the Lord.
So, you know, we work with James. We, you know, kind of raised James at Fox Hills, and he won us an amateur championship, won himself an amateur championship. They got to play in Augusta. Anyway, so that Monday let everybody in the prior year that didn't get to get in. So Monday was an absolute zoo.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll talk to anybody about golf because you're talking about an upper echelon golfing elite people that are at this place all week. You're not talking about 38 handicappers, you know, whatever. But I met more people that weren't golfers. That just had to see this place because that's all I heard about was Augusta.
Yeah.
It's like the seventh wonder of the world. People need to see this place.
It is so powerful.
Yeah.
Well, this tournament is unfolding in the last few moments. We've got Scheffler on the 16th tee. If you're trying.
Think he can make seven here?
If he's, unless he does, this thing is pretty much over. Scheffler on 16. It'll be the last time, by the way.
Oh, he might have made it.
He might have.
No.
The last time the legendary Vern Lundquist will call action on 16 is taking place right now. And welcome on to Spin on Golf for the first time, Stan Witko, who is the executive director of golf at this beautiful facility. Stan, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for hosting. I mean, we've taken over the boardroom here. We've ordered room service. We're still waiting for the filet to arrive. But this place is spectacular. I've not been through it before. How do you describe this facility, this property at St. John's for people who have who've not been over here?
Oh, man, it is, you know, and even for people who have been over here but haven't been over here in a few years, it's worth coming to see. And the way to describe it is, first of all, it's a really special place. It's the first thing I thought when I came to visit it and to check out the property and learn about it. But, you know, we really look at the people that we have here, the property that we have here, and where the profit that we make goes to. And those are kind of our three big pillars there. So, you know, we have an incredible staff, really professional on every level. The property itself is filled with just breathtaking places, gardens. You know, we haven't even started talking about the golf course yet. And then, you know, we're a humanitarian hotel, and so every dollar that we make goes towards charity. And so really those three things, and combined with what the property is, which is, you know, the premier resort in Southeast Michigan, make it just a really special place. You know, nothing like it in the world, really. So
clearly there has been major investment made here. Let's talk about the golf course a bit. The big one, the Cardinal. We'll get to the other options in a moment, but the Cardinal is your centerpiece. Ray Hearn with the redesign of that beautiful property, and it'll open, I think we're looking for June, correct?
Yeah, early June. We're having our grand opening will be June 22nd. That will coincide with Doyle's, with the Irish pub that'll be on property. But we hope to open the golf course, you know, slightly sooner than that. It is, if people haven't, if people have played it before, they're not really going to recognize a ton of it. The remake of it, the remodel. I mean, it's basically a brand new golf course. When I first came out and saw it, what I want people to experience when they first see it, which is, I looked at it as, you know, an extremely high end course that you could see, you know, hosting big tournaments. It's a professional level, professionally manicured, professionally taken care of golf course, and you know, first one in Michigan in quite a while. So it is, it's just an amazing property. It's a beautiful 18 holes, and it's a, you know, it's slightly, it's like a northern golf course, northern Michigan golf course, but closer to Detroit. So you'll feel like you're not in the city, and you'll feel like you're a lot further away from the city, but it's going to have, you know, country club style feel in terms of greens and fairways. We're trying to bring the best of everything to this location.
Stan, Brian Kearns, you know, welcome to Michigan. Welcome to Michigan PGA.
Thanks, you know, Brian.
Yeah, enough about the regular golf course. I like the amenities, the putting green and the little seven-hole thing. Are they going to be lit? Are we going to have parties? Are we going to have drink holders out there? Let's hear the good stuff.
The little card holders.
Right, the little card.
The extra stuff.
Right.
That's right.
The good stuff.
Right. I just want to say yes to all of that. Now, some of that might take some time. We're working on figuring out some lighting solutions. But, you know, as you guys know, Michigan stays light pretty late during the summer, which is really nice for us. But, yeah, we have the Little Cardinal, which is a seven-hole short course. It's set in, you know, about 5.5 acres. All of the tee boxes that we put in there, we have three large tee boxes for each green. And they're all really high-end synthetic turf that actually replicates regular turf. You put tees into it. You can play them from, you know, 50 yards or so up to about 115. All sorts of different green styles, punch bowl, volcano, postage stamps. And then we have, yeah, almost a nearly two-acre putting course that really does a good job of replicating, you know, or at least mimicking the Himalayas course out at St. Andrews.
Mm. Wow. Cool.
Well, as I said, there's been a lot of investment made here. Now, Stan, one of the things that I take a lot of grief for on my television show is that we always seem to work in food into our golf show. And as I walked towards the boardroom here for the radio broadcast, I walked past something called the Five Steakhouse.
Right,
my assumption is because they had a sign up there with my picture on it crossed out, so I did not go in.
But my assumption is that there's broadcasting today. Yeah,
well, it's because of our association with BC.
Well, probably. I mean, Stan, they wouldn't put steaks on your account. I mean, what the heck kind of pull you got here?
He tried.
Wait, he's been here for one day working with the show, and he's already crossed out?
Yes, right.
Well,
because I told him I knew
like
Brian
to get to
Cairns.
Know our guests well. We want to make sure we accommodate our guests in the way.
Surprise, security didn't stop BC at the door. Right.
Well, Stan, I asked the question because as part of that resort experience, let me let you brag a little bit on the culinary side of what you offer here, because I know that's been part of the renovation and the upgrade.
Yeah, a large part of it. I mean, let alone the Five Steakhouse, which you mentioned, which is just, I mean, unbelievable food. And our chef, Terrence Tarver, is incredible. But we also have the Wine Grotto, which is a newly renovated space that just recently opened. You know, it's a little, you need to really just check it out. It's very cool, very kind of hidden away, but a unique little place in the resort. And then we also have Doyle's Irish Pub coming online this summer, which is going to be a lot closer to the golf course than the other two. But another kind of a third completely unique food offering that we're going to have, in addition to, you know, a really nice halfway house we call the Cardinals. And we're going to have at the Cardinal putting course, we're going to have food and beverage available for people. It is going to feel like, you know, a hangout, like a backyard hangout, but a really cool large putting green. We'll have a digital scoreboard out there, but we will certainly have probably, you know, some of the best food that you're going to be able to find on a golf course, certainly on a public course anywhere in Southeast Michigan, to go along with the golf.
We have our main man here, Mr. Marcero. I assume we're going to have, like, now we're going to have food and drink.
Oh, yes.
Are we allowed to have drinks during the radio show?
Wait a minute. I was told that if I came down here to host this show that there would be a sampler platter, and instead there's a nothing platter.
Hey,
and now you're telling me that starts next week?
Yep.
Well, you're one and done, right, apparently. Yeah. I mean, this, yeah, come
this
on.
This is rough. This is rough.
Try 20 weeks.
Well, Stan, we can't thank you enough for being not only the host for the season premiere, but throughout the season of Spin on Golf. And I can't wait to come back down and see the place in full operation mode and just kind of let this property shine, because there has been so much effort and thought put into the new and improved St. John's Resort that I think it's going to be a huge hit throughout this region of the state.
Yeah, it's really incredible. We are happy to host you guys.
The fans are just going crazy.
The gallery has really grown since we started talking about food, you may have noticed. You know, in my world at Michigan Golf Live, this is our 25th year. We start on WJR on Sunday, May 5th at 7 p.m. And over a quarter of a century of doing the show, I have somehow missed out on a segment called Punk of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
And so I am anxious to see how this flows.
It's very volatile.
Brian Cairns, this starts with you. Is this kind of your baby? Did you invent Punk of the Week?
It's kind of a team thing, but he's the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah. Explain.
If you make Punk of the Week, you are despicable.
Wow.
Low.
Yeah.
So the
awful.
So the Melbourne Apparel rep is my Punk of the Week. Is that where that would fit in? The guy who made Jason Day dressed like a circus act?
Yeah, I think their measuring tape broke.
You got that Melbourne style is a little different. But he's a pretty big name and a pretty big deal.
Big fan of MC Hammer pants, apparently.
I get
back
it.
In the day.
But not a good look when it's blowing 35.
Did it do his job, though?
It did. We're talking about it.
Everybody talked about the sweater.
Yeah, they unsold clothing.
The Melbourne Championship.
When Augusta comes to you and says, please don't wear that, you've probably contradicted your goals.
They made him take it off.
They did?
Yes, they did.
They made him take it off.
Well, the same with Gary Player's son, who's been banned there. They told him not to wear a logo, and he did, and he can't.
All right, so let's get to the Punk of the Week here. What do you got?
I'm not totally ready for this.
We're going there. We're not there yet, are we?
We can't be there yet. We got to have Mikey first.
I just want you to explain quickly the logo rules at Augusta and maybe why the LIV guys couldn't wear. No, but you know the deal, because when you were there, you had to submit.
You have to submit the logos that are possibly going to be placed.
Oh, on shirts.
On shirts.
Everybody.
And headwear and sweaters, and it's not a billboard.
Well, there's no way that Day did that.
No, they have to prove it.
Yep.
Okay, but what was the deal this year with LIV? Were they allowed to wear their logos from their teams?
Small.
But not,
no, they had
the
LIV logo at a certain size, and it was all this size.
Okay. Yeah.
It was all an inch and a half or 2 inches. That was it. So, and that's it. It's got to be like here. It can't be here, or on the side of your hat. Okay, but 1.5 inches, 2 inches. I'm not sure what it was, but it was small, and it has to be in a very discreet position.
It is an invitational, right? They can just uninvite you if they choose to.
So they came up to him during the round when the jackets and asked him to please remove his sweater. And if you watch Day's interview, he respectfully said, you know what? Hey, I'm at Augusta. I took it off. They told me to take it off.
And in his mind, he thought, thank you, Lord. I don't ever want to have another picture of me taken in this garbage.
I thought he was going to go airborne in day one there.
Yeah,
he
could
fly. I thought he had rain pants on.
It was awful.
Okay, listen, we got 7 minutes left. I want your Punks of the Week, and then we have to give some instruction, because I promised people we would give instruction. So, Mikey Faye, do you have a Punk of the Week?
I don't, no, but BC, you ready for Punk of the
Week? Yeah, I am ready, and I am sick and freaking tired.
There he goes.
Here we go, Marv. Hang on to your hat.
Here comes Torts.
This bull crap of the LIV and the PGA Tour fight is so awful. I mean, this week was a nice reprise from it. It was quiet. It was calm. Everyone got along. And they're all pretty much good friends, these guys. But at some level, they're not good friends. And they're evil people up there. And they just don't want this to settle. And I'm to the point where it's really pushing people away from the game of golf. And watching the game of golf. The viewership's down. Viewership's down. That means advertisers are pulling back. That means money's going to be drying up. I mean, this really sucks. It really does. Settle the damn thing. Get your damn egos out of the way. And let's get on with golf.
Good Punk of the Week. Turmoil in golf. Punk of the Week.
I don't know. Like, I was kind of going to go the sweater way, but we already talked about that. So I'm going to go with Shipley. Because I saw, I mean, hey, huge respect. Buckeye, right, Ohio State kid playing, played some awesome golf, played with Tiger today.
Yep. Yeah.
I saw him spit on the greens a bunch.
Sort of Tyrrell Hatton.
And well, he'll be number two.
Yeah.
Maybe you can select them, but Shipley, come on. Don't spit on the greens at Augusta, especially when you're on TV all the time.
Yeah.
If you want to do it in the corner, on the side of the tee, or somewhere else, do it there. Not on the greens. It's like putting spits or whatever they call them, sunflower seeds
on the greens. You get fined for that.
Come on.
Yeah.
My punk of the week.
Mikey?
Well, we were going to talk a little bit about instruction, getting people ready for the season, really.
Yeah, there's a
right?
lot of people listening right now.
Mikey goes to the positive. We go to the negative.
Who maybe went to the range once, and that's all they've done thus far.
Right.
And they're going to go out to their first league night on a Thursday and be livid that they didn't shoot 37.
I had a few people coming in already. Actually, it kind of brings up, like, getting ready, right? Yeah. Like, stretching and things like that. We've got players coming in, like, going full bore, going nuts, whacking a million balls, and then coming back in going, boy, I really hurt.
Hey, fireball and two Coors Light. Fireball and two Coors Light.
I can't come see you for another couple weeks because I hurt. That's not good. So we got to kind of get ready, you know?
Look at his face. I love Mikey.
I'm telling you, have a fireball and two Coors Light.
It's very helpful.
It's probably better than stretching.
Probably is.
Have you developed the ability to bite your tongue in those moments and say, well, Mr. Johnson, perhaps we can get you stretched out versus, well, sir, you clearly are not that bright because you thought you could swing for the fences right out of a winter-long hibernation.
First, I apologize. And I say I'm so sorry for your misfortune.
Yeah.
And
heartfelt, I can tell.
Yeah, and not go hit a million balls right at the beginning because we're excited. Yeah.
I'm going to say chip and putt for a good 3 hours at three different times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Prepare that way. Don't worry about hitting the ball. You're never going to hit the ball good. You're going to hit the ball like a C+ or a C-. That's just the way it is.
You mean to start things off.
I'm talking throughout the whole season.
Forever.
So just learn how to chip and putt. That's it.
Hang on a second. Let me just push back on behalf of the 20 handicapper in the world who says, wait, you just told me as a top instructor that I'm never going to hit the ball good. Why am I getting instruction?
You have to be a good chameleon. You have to learn how to adapt.
Explain in 2 minutes.
Well, you have to learn to adapt with certain situations, like, you know, whether it's windy or the greens are fast or the greens are sticky and slow or it's wet. You have to adapt with the situations. You're never going to hit it like an A player.
Did Scottie Scheffler have his A game this week?
I think he had his A-, maybe
yes.
His A game, yeah.
100%.
I don't think he did when he won a few weeks ago, but you have to be able to be good when you're not good. And, I mean, the Weekend Warriors, let's face it, nobody's really good. So just learn how to chip and putt.
Yeah.
Do the simple stuff.
That lowers your score faster than anything.
Is there a way to be good at this game if you don't have time to practice?
Be your best friend.
You know what? I always ask people – you know, because I play a lot of golf, and I'm like, why do you play this game?
Yeah.
Wow, I really enjoy it. I'm like, are you freaking nuts? Who the hell enjoys this game? This is monotony. It takes a lot of time just to be average, and it drives you ballistic. You go home pissed off, and it's like, who would want to pay to do this? This is crazy. It's like you have to set your parameters of what you can expect and what you can expect to do, and then at least develop a little plan. Have a little plan in the spring. That's all
we
can ask.
So part of quality instruction is reality check.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Expectations and understanding what this is about.
I
have fun. Enjoy your people you're hanging out with and playing with.
Yeah.
And it's a game. Yeah, you can challenge yourself, but just expectations and enjoy it.
Right.
Well, there's one young man in Augusta, Georgia, who is enjoying his week. Scottie Scheffler currently, as we sit here, has a 4-shot lead. He hit it into the bunker on 18, but I don't anticipate that being enough of a problem that he would make a 9 on the hole. So I think you can pretty much lock him in for his second green jacket. By the way, his caddy, Ted Scott, will now be on his fourth Masters champion
right.
bag.
Son,
two
man,
with
man.
Bubba, two with
That's
Scheffler.
Pretty cool.
And for those two guys who share a strong faith together, and they are really kind of like best friend and brothers, it's one of those situations like Phil and Bones used to have where you can't picture them ever not being together. And surely the resume would support that idea that they are a pretty darn good team. So congratulations to Scottie Scheffler, who is about 4 minutes away from being your 2024 Masters champion, and
he's just setting it up for a four putt on the last one.
He's